I know that there are a lot of people sick and probably sick and tired. And so I want to pray this morning. I need you to stand with me, though, just if you would. If you can't or you don't want to, it's totally fine. But I want to pray for us, and I want to pray for those who aren't able to be here today. Many of them, I'm sure, online. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who heals. You're a God who loves us, and it's not proved out by being healed or not, but, Lord, you love us even as we are today, right here, right now. And, Lord, I pray that our hearts would really understand the love that you have for us. I pray, Lord, that you would open up the closed places in our hearts, Lord, that maybe we've closed ourselves, maybe we just don't even know or understand, but, Lord, would you speak deeply into the core, the depth of who we are. And I pray for radical healing to take place inside of each one of us, Lord, emotionally, physically, Lord, every area of our lives would be set on a course of being made whole today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. You know, I was thinking this morning, our whole lives, well, maybe not our whole life. From the time we're young children, we set goals, like age goals, for ourselves. And I don't think we, like nobody teaches us to do that. But, you know, when you're 5, you want to be 6. When you're 6, you want to be 12, right? When you're 12, you want to be 13 because you want to be a teenager. And so, you know, there's this goal. Like when you're 13, your goal is 16. When you're 16, your goal is 18. When you're 18, your goal... Hey, look. I'm preaching up here. When you're 18, you want to be 21. After you hit 21, though, it's kind of like... You might have a goal of like, oh, I need to be 25, 26 so I can rent a car. I don't know, you know, whatever. But pretty soon you're 30 and kind of going, what do I do now? What goal do I set? Where? And then, you know, lordy, lordy, look who's 40. You know, it's like, what do you do? Where do you go from there? You know, and we are very... goal-driven, we're very, whether we grew up that way, whether we're firstborn, whether, you know, whatever, we all have different goals in our lives that we set, and we want to accomplish them, and sometimes we feel a little aimless, because we don't have a goal, we don't have a target, we don't, you know, and that's okay. God built you that way in some respects. But I want to tell you where this transfers in a bad way. we find ourselves trying to gain love from Him or proof that somehow we're really good Christians because we do all the things that somebody told us we were supposed to be doing. It's like somebody set goals for us. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Do this, do this, do this, do that. This is how you prove you're a Christian. And we strive inside of our walk with God to try to hit these goals and these marks. And it creates either pride in us that we're doing really well or shame in us that we're doing not so well. Do you hear me? And so we struggle in this unnecessary struggle. And then... I'm sharing this only because the last couple of weeks I really felt strongly that the Lord spoke to me about denying yourself to taking up your cross. You know, I shared these things the last couple of weeks. And the Lord said, do not drive my people into a place of striving. And I was like, whoa, that is the furthest thing from my heart. But I felt a real caution and a real warning in this place of creating an idea that you can strive enough, like you can deny yourself enough that you can become something that you're not already. Never the message that's in my heart. Not at all what I would want to communicate to you, to myself, to anyone else. However, there is something to be said about denying the self that is not created in the image of God. The part of you that has been redeemed, that continues to want to be in control of your thoughts, your life, driving everything that you are. And I'll explain this a little further because I'm sure some of you are like, what are you even talking about? But there is, let's just start here. We have to recognize that the Bible starts in Genesis 1, not Genesis 3, right? Here's what I mean by that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know the whole story. But when he created man and woman, he created them in his image and in his likeness. That is who you are. That is who I am. That is who each one of you in this place are. And there is a battle that wages against you figuring out who you were created to be from the very beginning. And inside of that, we struggle with who we have been developed to be versus who God says that we are. Does that, there's a war being waged to, and so when I use terminology like deny yourself, I believe that the way that the heart of God would be is that understanding that is not, and I know some people call it the old nature and the old man, and that's all fine. You can call it whatever you want. I'm saying that what God wants us to begin to shift how we think and how we see is to be able to see through the eyes of the one created in his image and his likeness. And the only way that that happens is not by you forcing yourself to think differently. It is about submitting to the one who came to bring about in us the transformation that takes place up here and in here, which is Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said in John 16 is one place, but he said it in a few places. He was trying to forewarn his disciples that he was leaving. You guys remember this? And they start freaking out. What do you mean you're leaving? He actually said it this way in John 16. He said, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. And then in a little while, you'll see me again. And they started freaking out like, what? What did he just say? In a little while, we're going to, and then what? And then they got really hung up on, what is a little while? Right? Kind of like we do with soon. When is it happening? Soon. What does that mean? I don't know. But it'll be soon. Right? Your car will be done soon. 2 months later. It was sooner than 3 months. Anyway, Jesus says to him, I'm leaving, but don't worry. It's better for you that I go. And they're going, what could possibly be better than your very present presence, standing here with me, walking me throughout my day, teaching me, me being able to glean from you, watch you, learn from you, all these, what could possibly be better than that? And so he says, if I don't go, he won't come. In other words, and he's talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not come unless I go. But he will not, this is again John 16, about verse 14 or so, he says, is that right? It sounds right. I don't know. If it's not John 16:14, it's somewhere in your Bible, that big thing you have in your lap. It's what? John 16:7? See? I knew it was there somewhere. He says, he will not speak on his own authority, but will... some of your translations will say declare, or he will take from what is mine and he will make it known to you, is how some translations say it. The translation that's in me says it this way. He will take from what is mine and he will render that unto you. It's the same word, but the literal translation is to render. It is more of a word, not like speaking it into your ear, but putting it inside of you. Rendering. It's a handing over. It is a giving to you that which you did not have or possess before it was given to you. Does that make sense? I'm going somewhere with this. I'm trying to build something here. Just bear with me. In Acts chapter 1 is too far. The end of John, Jesus appears to his disciples. For 40 days, he shows up, right? He's walking through walls. He's just like, pow, showing up. And he does something wild. He breathes on his disciples. You guys remember this? He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Did they or not? Not a trick question. If Jesus said, I'm releasing through my breath Holy Spirit, did he? Yes. Listen, I got a cheat code for you. All the answers are yes when I ask you questions. Maybe not, but most of them will say that. If it's not yes, I'll tell you it's no. How's that? So, breathe, receive Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, Jesus is about to go up in a cloud, and he's standing before his disciples. This is at the beginning of Acts chapter 1. And he says, what does he say? Yeah. But there's something, there's a reason that that's coming into my mind and I don't know why. So, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Give me 1 second. You'll understand. As soon as I understand, you'll understand. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to read it so that we can... it's all this. So starting in verse 4, I know why I wanted to bring this. Okay. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. There's that thing again. Not many days from now. Don't worry. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? But before I go on any further, I want you to understand this statement. He tells them, I want you to go to Jerusalem. You're going to wait a few days, and the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, will come not many days from now. And they go, is now the time? Like, this has got to be it. It sounds like you're leaving again. The whole idea of a Messiah was to set Israel back in order, to bring us back into power, to overthrow Rome. It's got to be now. And it actually says it this way. It is the imperfect, whatever. I don't know. I'm not Greek. So it's the word is it means a continual asking. They ask over and over and over, not just here, but in multiple places. When they didn't know what else to ask, they'd say, is now the time? How about now? It's got to happen, so it must be now. Is now the time you're going to set up Israel as a new powerhouse, as a world power? You're going to reestablish the kingdom. You're going to overthrow Rome. Maybe, total extrapolation here, but maybe they were thinking, you breathed on us. We received Holy Spirit. We don't really need that. Like what you said, because you said we already got it, so must be coming for maybe a different reason, or maybe for somebody else, or maybe, or maybe it's, no, how about now? Is now the time, like, do you see how this, I mean, I don't know if that's what they were thinking, but it makes a little bit of sense to me, that maybe they were thinking, do I really need what you're saying? If I've already got it, if I already received it, if I already got what you're saying I'm supposed to get, I should be good, right? Like, when I said the prayer, I got the Spirit. How about this one? When I spoke in tongues, I got the Spirit. Again, the Bible says to be filled and go on being filled. It's a continual filling. It's not a one-time, like, fill her up, God. Good to go. We can turn that back to the normal. No, you don't need to cut that, the thermostat. I'm getting hot down here. I had to turn it up a little bit, or I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to hold the mic because my hand was so cold I couldn't wrap my fingers around it no more. Okay. We're going to park all of that for just a second. I'm going to take you into another Bible story, and then we're going to revisit this, and we're going to pull it all together. You can turn there if you want to. It'd probably be better if you did, because I'll probably read some. But I'm going to be quoting Numbers 13. Moses is meeting with the Lord here in Numbers 13. And Moses hears this from God. I want you to send out spies into the land of Canaan that I've given you. Here's how he says it. To spy out the land, or to search out the land. I could be wrong about my thinking, but I don't think so. And I don't know if I'm going to say this word right. The right word could be. It's spelled D-E-S-C-R-Y. Anybody know how to say that? John, do you know how to say that word? No? Describe. I don't know. It's not a Greek word. It's an English word. And it actually doesn't mean like, with a fine-tooth comb, go out into the land and search it out and see what's there and check out this and check out that. It is, go see if what I say is true. So Moses gets this command from the Lord. So he brings all the tribes together, because God told him, I need you to pick one man from every tribe, which would have been 12. And he says they need to be leaders. I think that's important to know. They need to be leaders from their tribe. So then it lists. There was this guy who was from this tribe, who was this guy's son. There was this guy, and he was from this tribe, and he was this, and it goes through all 12. So they go out, right? They go to Canaan, and they search, and it's just like what they were told. Big old fruit, land's fertile, I don't know what milk and honey looks like that's flowing around, but that's what it says, the land flowing with milk and honey. You know, whatever that might actually mean, I don't know. Right? It's amazing. And it's exactly what God told them it would be like. In fact, it's funny. Again, I maybe didn't really like hit on it that hard, but God told them, I need you to go spy out the land that I have already given you. It's yours. Just go check it out. It's all there, just like they said. And then there's giants in the land, right? So they come back, and they go to give a report. And here's Joshua and Caleb. Out of the 12, you have Joshua, you have Caleb, and you have a whole bunch of people that I don't know their names. What? Yeah, there's a bunch of people. All their names are there if you want to read them. Joshua and Caleb are like, let's do this. God said it's ours. It's just like He said. We are well able to go and take this land. That's what they say. The other 12, or the 10 spies are going, yeah, fruit, sure, it's big, it's there, right here in front of you. We brought some back. Like, it said they had to put, some grapes on a pole. Like, it was so heavy, one guy couldn't just carry the grapes. You ever walk through the grocery store and be like, honey, did you bring the pole? I want some grapes. No. But, like, these were that kind of stuff, you know, watermelon-sized grapes, I don't know, whatever. Big old grapes. And we see the grapes. But listen, there were giants in the land. And it goes on to say it this way, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, therefore we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Started with me first, and because of the way I saw me, so did they. So, there it is. There we saw the giants, descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. The congregation of Israel, their hearts melted with fear. They were like, and so Moses doesn't really know what to do. He's like, just maybe we shouldn't go. I don't know. And so we go into chapter 14. They're standing all together. They're trying to, like, decide. They're all done at this point. They're like, no. I want to show you something that I don't know that I've ever heard anybody really talk about. Probably have. I probably was sleeping or not listening. Who knows? I don't know. So Israel's refused to go into Canaan. So watch this. Verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. They are our bread. I love it. Their protection has departed from them. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Here it is. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. How dare you say something different? How dare you challenge us to be something that we know we're not? How dare you tell us to take a risk when we don't want to take a risk? How dare you tell us to go somewhere and say God did something when we know, because what these guys said, God isn't wanting us to go there? here's where we tie it all together. I wonder how much we struggle with allowing Holy Spirit to be God because we don't understand Him. Because somebody else says, that's weird. Because somebody else says, you don't need to do all of that. Because somebody else says, Holy Spirit was given to you for this, and you don't need to go all out like you're getting off balance. Listen to this. If you're being accused of loving God too much, if you're being accused of being a fanatic for the presence of God, tell me where there's a problem. I do know this, and I suppose I didn't finish this part of the story, but at the end of what I was bringing in John 16, it says that they watched Jesus ascend into heaven, and then they just kept watching. Two guys show up, and they're like, why are you staring at the sky? You got a job to do here. Like, that isn't the exact words they use, but they're like, why are you staring at what's, as if he's not coming back, as if like, you don't have something to do here. He just told you, they were angels, by the way. He just told you everything that was to happen, and you're going, who? Acts. Sorry, I said John, didn't I? I meant Acts. Thank you for fixing that for me. They didn't have their eyes fixed where they needed to be, which was forward, right? Moving forward. So I'm bringing this to you because we're moving completely into, I know we're in a new year, but we're moving into a whole new time, a whole new ion, a whole new season, a whole new realm, and it's going to require a whole new view. It's going to require of me to not worry about what is back here, but I need to move forward. I need to understand that I've got a mission and a call to accomplish here on the earth, and I've been given everything I need through Holy Spirit that was promised to me, not because I received it one time, but because I'm going to receive it today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. And if you don't like it, you can go take your toys and play somewhere else. And, you know, I'm not, that's not speaking of the church. I'm just saying, like, people around me, if you don't like the fact that I'm a fanatic for Jesus, if I'm a fanatic for Holy Spirit, if I'm a fanatic for the presence of God and you don't like it, you don't have to play in my sandbox. Like, if we're good just saying I get to go to heaven, then so be it. That, like, you got your own sandbox over there, I guess. But I'm in this place where I'm like, it is so past time to launch forward. I'm kind of seeing this in my head right now. I see the rearview mirror of our cars just getting ripped off. Like, you can't look backwards anymore. The back window got taken out. It's got the Alaska window on it. Duct tape and boxes or whatever. You know, you can't look back no more. Quit looking back. Quit trying to figure out, like, you're not going to bring into this season what happened back here. And this is where the struggle with the Israelites that I brought up in Numbers 13, they were struggling with, this is not the way God did it before. Before we walked into a place, we knew He gave it to us, the people surrendered, or they, you know, and the closer we got, they started freaking out, whatever. Here now we're walking into the promised land, and I'm freaking out. We're walking into 2025, and it's not like 2024. And it's not going to be like 2024, and it's not supposed to be like 2024. If we want God to pour out something new in our lives, we have to be prepared with a new vessel to receive the new wine of what God's pouring out. Hello, Luke chapter 5. We are being given an opportunity to recognize the greatness, the largeness is not a word, but the vast gift that He's given us for this coming year. And if we want something different, we have to begin to shift into something different ourselves. And if we struggle through this, I'll just try harder this year. In fact, do you know what this coming Friday is called? Quitter's Day. Yeah. Because people make New Year's resolutions, and by the second Friday of January, they quit. So they actually named it Quitter's Day. Why? Because striving and just, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and I'm just going to make this happen, just doesn't do it. Doesn't matter how much you want to go to the gym. Like, if you go to the gym, which I do, you'll notice it'll be really full for a couple of weeks. And then pretty soon those people, you know, if you just wait a little bit, you'll get your machine back, you'll get your, you know, it'll all kind of clear up. But there is this place in what we're doing that there is no room for that kind of mentality of, if I just strive a little harder, if I just prove myself, if I just decide that I'm gonna do this year, I'm gonna quit that habit, or I'm gonna stop doing that, or I'm gonna start doing this, I'm gonna become more disciplined in how I read, or how, you know, that's good. Those are good things. There's nothing wrong with that. But the life that needs to come inside of you by doing those things only comes by a submission to the one who was promised and sent to us, the one who wants to fill us every day, not just a one-time thing, not just a once-in-our-lifetime thing, but an everyday thing that also brings us to the place where, as we submit ourselves to Him, He renders unto us that which is already Jesus's. We begin to mirror the image of the one who we were created to be like. You hear all this tying together now. We were originally created in His image and His likeness. And sin, which we've been told is to miss the mark, that's not, I don't want to say that's not true. The product of sin is missing the mark. The idea of sin is to be formless. It is to be without your original form. It is to deny who God made you to be. That's what sin actually is. This is why Jesus defeated sin on the cross. He defeated the formlessness, the beyond your blueprint, your original ID. It was defeated over here. And we have to come into the place of believing that what He did for me creates a whole new being. Hello, Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 5:17. Is that right? Yeah, well. Behold, I'm a new creation, right? Old things. Anybody who's in Jesus is a new creation. Behold, old things have gone. All things have become new. new as in I am no longer formless and without the original intention of my life. I have stepped into the blueprint that God originally designed for me to be. And I'm made complete and new in that place. And it's not because I do everything right. It's because I believe He accomplished what He said He accomplished in me. 2 Corinthians 5. Thank you. When you're up here, things just come at you like this, and you just have to go, So I heard this, and I didn't know why I heard it, but I heard, now I know why. I need you to be you. And you need me to be me. Like, if we're going to see what God designed for Bridge of Hope to be, I need to be me, you need to be you. The fullness of who you are. The fullness of who I am. You need that and I need that. And I'm not in this alone. I'm not doing this alone. You're not doing this alone. Our job is not to see how well we can disguise or hide how we're doing or what we're doing or any of the. Our job is to believe what He said and allow it to begin to transform who we are. Right? As we submit. Anybody know what submit is? As we submit ourselves to Holy Spirit as Lord over us. This one I know for sure. 2 Corinthians 3:18. In the Passion Translation it says it this way. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. Right? Your Bible would probably say it this way. But the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We know it that way. But I actually... What? Did I misquote that? First. No, is it second? You got me all mixed up. 16, verse 16. Yeah. Okay, I said 18. That is, we with unveiled faces now reflect the glory of God. Okay. So, it's verse 16, though. Thanks. Anyway. Where the Spirit is made Lord in our lives. We are set free. Free from what? Free from what we are not. And free to be who we are. We're really good at going, well, it's got to be freedom from sin as in the things I do. Why? Because we're goal-oriented. Because we want to be able to say, I no longer do that. I now do this. If we could get past that, I'm a firm believer that what you focus on grows. And we're constantly focused on where we fall short or what we're doing right. And in it, we either grow in pride or we grow in shame. Because we're stuck in this place of focusing on it versus focusing on I am this. This is who God says that I am. That I reflect the glory. I reflect I'm the very mirror image of who He is. Jesus showed me how to do it. He walked the earth and He mirrored forth the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? He mirrored that forth so that I could then come and mirror what He did. Not because I'm trying hard enough, but because I'm found inside of Him And he's found inside of me, and it all empowers me to be who I am not by being this person. Thank you. I was hoping I made sense through that. So I think I'm going to do an exercise with you real quick. I need you to stand up with me, please. If you're willing, you don't have to, but you'll prove you're chicken if you don't. I'm playing with you. Put your hand right on your splachna, on your guts. Because I'm going to speak into you. But I need you to do this. I need you to invite this way. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I declare over each one of you in this place, metamorpho, transformation, even all the way to the depths. I hear this clearly, the cellular level of your body. I declare transformational transfiguration of who you are taking place even today. That God, that if we are struggling even to believe that I can be different, that I can walk in a place of absolute total freedom, I pray that you would break that place of doubt and fear, and that you would open us up right here on the inside to know and believe that as you fill us up, as we submit to you, we are transformed into the likeness of the one who sent you. Overflowing every day. Not just today, not just right now, but every day. Fill us and fill us and fill us and fill us and fill us. And I call forth out of each one of you in this place the fullness of who you are. Through the mighty name of Yeshua, I call you forth. And the image bearer of the one who sent you. I declare over you that 2025, it's going to be the year that you begin to break forth. I see some of you coming out of like a cocoon. When I spoke of transfiguration, I see some of you breaking forth out of this cocoon where you felt trapped, where you felt like, I've been sitting here for so long, I don't know what to do, I feel like I'm being developed, but I'm also struggling, and so I call you forth out of the place, whether it's bondage or whether it's the safety of just being close to this cocoon, whatever, I just declare over you a breaking forth in 2025. For some of you, it is not a launching year, it is a beginning year. For some of you, it's a fueling year. For some of you, it is a launching year that the Lord is going to take and shift things. You've been waiting and sitting and preparing and learning and growing and asking and knocking and the Lord is opening the door in 2025. Up to the filling of Holy Spirit every day, every moment of every day. Bless you with that understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Bless you guys. Welcome to 2025.